One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
Hi, welcome to our show.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Hi.
Hi.
It's hat day.
It is hat day.
Yeah, and of course he wears a hat today.
Well, Mike,
thank you.
Just wanted to promote the show.
Only if you have an Orioles hat.
Situational
today.
Awareness, Rob. That's all it is. Situational awareness. We had a bet that I would wear a hat if the Red Sox got swept by the Orioles. And we'll get to the details of the game in a second here, but it was a long one, Josh. It was a long, and I knew Josh would be up, so yes. I texted him right after the game. And it was...
Was it an extra inning situation or just a long game?
Yeah. Thank you for identifying that. Very good, non-sports guy. That's good. It was an extra
innings
game.
Does that make up for the hat?
Well, no. I mean, I'm spotlighting a hat and you put a hat on. It's just, you know, it's simple stuff. This is not rocket science.
I understand.
But yeah, you're correct. I believe it was 12 innings.
I think that... It's rare now for me, outside of football season, to have a sporting event really, really get to that feeling that where I have trouble winding down. It's why I don't like night games. Mm-hmm. It's why in the NFL I hate it, because if I get into a tense situation, win or lose, I'm going to be wound up until an hour at least, minimum. An hour afterwards, which I was last night, and it's
is that
just,
I hate to interrupt because yes. I mean I've known people like this in my family. They get worked up and they can't go to bed. It doesn't affect me because sports aren't important to me. Would you get that worked up if it was a night game if you didn't have a bet invested in it?
Yeah, with the game last night. So the fact that the bet was just added fuel to the fire.
Okay,
but the bet was
right.
Just because it was really. A game that I didn't watch the whole game. I came in late because I thought the Red Sox were in their little malaise that they were in. And when you load up the bases three times and can't get one run across, you got a bad team. And I know they've had a lot of runs where they've done really well because they explode for like 16 runs and then they can't hit an elephant in the ass with a broom.
Yeah.
And so... And I'll ask our Orioles expert here. I am told they're catching the Orioles at a bad time because the Orioles are having a pretty good little run. Would that be accurate?
Yes. The Orioles have been very hot for the past week or two.
Right.
In fact, what's crazy is if you look at the Orioles' schedule since the beginning of June, they're one of the top five baseball teams.
Yeah.
In baseball since June.
Yep.
They did so bad in April and May that they blew their whole season.
They did, and that's a bummer. But, you know, it's nice because you can make these little bets. And as Josh informed me, we will be able to revisit this rivalry in a very short time when the Red Sox go down to Baltimore for a four-game series, which would be a real series, not the two-game suckathon that was at the Fenway last night.
I guess Boston to Baltimore is not like a halfway point to Florida. So you wouldn't like you guys couldn't like meet there or anything, like go to Baltimore and meet up for the series, right? You can travel up.
Well, anything's possible.
Right. I mean, it's the same drive either way.
It's, you know,
I mean, well, I'm talking about the Orioles splitting the Red Sox splitting the difference by coming closer is what I meant. So would you possibly do the game? You should come up. I've got a room for you.
No, I got plenty. Travel coming up for me is taking my wife's journey in September to fly into Hurricane Central,
yeah,
the Dominican Republic, and do so. I'm not sure that's going to be happening. The thing about it, first of all, this is a little leaguer's hat. This is a tiny.
I was going to say it looked like it hadn't really been broke in good,
this is it. This is when he played a tournament for the Orioles. That was his team when he played a tournament. He pitched four scoreless innings in this hat. So I'm proud of my little guy. And today he's off to golf auditions.
He could have pitched last night.
Thank you for putting it in terms I understand, Mike. Golf auditions.
Let me just tell you, though, extra innings in the bottom of the ninth inning, the brand new guy that the Red Sox got from the waiver wire of your Washington Nationals, gentleman by the name of Nathaniel Lowe, hits a two-run game-tying home run. And Josh, how did you feel at that particular moment?
Well, in the eighth inning, the Red Sox loaded up the bases with no outs. And we brought in this pitcher, Garcia, who came in and struck out the next three batters.
Because that's how the Red Sox roll with the bases loaded.
Right.
Something goes ding in the Red Sox world as soon as they hear that somebody's coming in to load the bases, and it clicks for them. And why does that work? There's no point in that working. Why should it work? Ass. Plugged it in and everything.
So I did... I did go on TikTok Live last night around the seventh inning because I felt confident in the Orioles were doing well. So I said, I'll go on here and talk some Orioles baseball. So I think some people definitely enjoyed me being irritated in the ninth when within four pitches, there's a man on base, a home run hit, and the game is tied.
Was it a graphable, noticeable sort of curve of you getting annoyed? Or did you just turn it on? Or did it build? It build?
No. It was... pretty instant. My brother hopped on during the seventh and eighth, and we were on TikTok together talking about the Orioles and praising this pitcher we never heard of who did a great job in the eighth. And then they brought in a different guy in the ninth, another guy we don't know, we've heard nothing about, know nothing about this. That's the Orioles bullpen right now, is a bunch of guys we don't know. And he blew it, and then he proceeded to do what he does and load the bases again for the Red Sox.
Mm-hmm.
So I turned to pissed and assuming this game was going to just end.
Yep.
And
because it sure looked like that, Rob.
I told the people on my live stream, if I just shut this thing off and go away, it's because the Orioles lost. Like, there is no goodbye. I am rage quitting this thing.
When your brother came on to talk to you, did he mention me? Because he's my friend? Thank you. God, that's great to hear.
But so then it went to, a little bit of joy every time we would get the Red Sox out to then we wouldn't score any runs and knowing this game's going to fall apart. And we tried. We kept letting them load up the bases and they would never score.
Yeah.
They had a chance in the 11th where there's a guy on third base and then the Red Sox hit a long fly ball to center field.
Mm-hmm.
Standard baseball move. You tag up, you run home.
Why do that?
Tied.
They prearranged.
the guy just stood there.
The manager's excuse. These effers, this stupid man. We've prearranged that we're not going to challenge him. What does that have to do with situation, you know, as far as I'm concerned? I think you got to go for it. And when you Counselor's don't go for it, you get arm, burned.
Right. You have to go for it in extra innings.
Ay, ay, ay. So that was it.
And is it common to prearrange something in a sporting event?
I'm just right now really like ADD. My son's right. He asked me if I have ADD. I do. I am just now.
Check the living room.
The living
room? Sounds going into the living room.
Are they going into the living room?
Because you have another Bluetooth thing there, right? It could connect.
What?
Don't you have a Bluetooth speaker in your living room that sometimes connects to? Like a sound bar?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, we've had that issue in the past. Thank you.
See, he can talk about that, and I can't. All right, let's see if he was right. All right.
And
it was quiet, but it was there.
It was there, yeah.
Was it through the board, do you think?
No, I think it was. It sounded like it through your mic. It actually sounds like you have someone at your doorbell.
It does. You might want to go check your door.
Hello? Hello?
It doesn't want to grab.
I did get multiple messages late last night. Can't wait to see Mike in the Oriole hat.
Mm-hmm. So there it is. People happy. And I'm wearing it for the whole show. I have no choice.
Well, people were paying attention to the game, at least for your misery.
That's that. Yeah, and that's good. That's a good thing, because I think if I can bring people joy, that's fine.
That's a trait that seems to be more popular in the western part of the United States, perhaps in the northern part of California,
that they
enjoy when bad things happen to good people, and they always have.
Bastards.
They are.
And I think that game ended around 10:30 last night. So it wasn't super late, but a game starts at like 6:30. So it was a long game.
And I'm such an ass.
Why are you laughing? Why are you laughing?
He didn't plug in the cord.
No, I did. I did plug in the cord. I'm just trying to figure it all out.
He's just so distracted.
I'm obsessed. I need my soundboard to do the show. And I plug it in the same effing way. And everything has gone batshit when I had my big win yesterday. I spent the better part of last night printer hopping and trying to get my printer to finally work without any help from Epson. Oh, by the way, an Epson blow me. Seriously, when you give me this false idea that I'm going to get somebody in customer support, and then you take me through this, and I'm talking to an AI assistant, and then finally you get to that certain level, we're going to put you on with a tech and with a small refundable $5 deposit. F you. Yes, $5.
What, $5 for what?
To talk to a tech person.
Oh, burn the place down. That's insane. That's insane. Right. Now, I do know this. If you re-up on a printer, which I know you won't because, I mean, it's a scam, Canon has very good customer support, live person support, and I've dealt with them in the past. So if you think about rebuying, look to a Canon, Mike. I think you'll be pleased with it.
How's everybody doing today?
That sounded a little bored-like, didn't it?
That ding sounded better.
Yeah.
Did it really?
Yeah.
Hold on.
No.
It's coming through.
No, it's still out of your mic.
You know, Josh, my son asked me if I had ADD, and I said, look at the clouds.
Like a bird. My son's right. My son said, I'm trying to get my phone to talk to my car today on his whole trip down. I said, Dad, do you have ADD? I said, no, I don't think I have ADD at all. And my son goes, well, I was look, a bird.
That might be, yeah, but I guess I'm more OCD than ADD. Because I don't.
Yeah, you're OCD. You like things straight.
I do like things straight. So
if
I think
Robert
that's probably
wants to mess with you, he should just come rearrange some stuff on those shelves behind you.
I think I told you this is that I had a Super Bowl party about 75 years ago, and Mike and Carla came to it. And as they were leaving that evening, Carla said, I rearranged one of your CDs. I hope you don't mind. And I minded a lot. And I went down and looked through all. I walked everything from the Animals to ZZ Top. I looked.
But you know she didn't really do that.
Well, she told me that after the fact. That I
but you should know that it's just messing with
I want to
OCD.
Apologize to both of you and the entire listening audience for not being present in this opening segment today. I truly apologize for that. You know, I'm just trying to.
You have to live in the moment, Mike. Be present. That's what all the podcasts say.
I understand, Bruce. I really do.
Should we meditate a little bit? Center ourselves?
No, you just should keep it moving. That's what I rely on you for in the upper right-hand corner.
We've been doing that.
I know. Good. I'm just trying. God damn it!
But it was enough. It was enough to definitely mess up my day. And she let me stew on it. The way she said it, I think there was a chance it was real. Because there was a sort of venom to it. But she's always thought I was a dork. So I'm sure she knew she could fool me. Right.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Hey, now we're going to hear ourselves double thanks to whatever doing.
Now
it's like
you.
A zoo crew.
Now
we don't. We're good.
All right.
I'm sorry.
You know, Rob, I moved one of your DVDs when I was there, but just didn't tell you.
Which one?
I just swapped two of them in the middle.
I don't believe you because I had an eye on you. We were not as close then as we were now, so I observed you. But sometimes I go looking for a DVD I don't have. And that's another problem.
I wish I was more of a professional broadcaster. I really do. This is where the reason that, you know, when we are working at radio stations, you have people that can do this. And when I can't, and by the way, this wonderful piece of equipment is far too complex for me. It really, there is way too much going on. This is like being in a car with too much technology. That's what it is. And I'm trying to assign things that I shouldn't assign, and I don't even know where the hell it is. But anyway, welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show.
Mike, is the problem that hat?
Yeah.
You can take the hat off if you need to do the show.
There you are.
Now it's going to work. No hat is better.
Now it's going to work, boy. There it is. I've got it. It's set to go.
Right.
Fantastic. How's everybody doing today?
What I was going to do is I was going to quietly play a ding in the background to make him think he fixed it.
Every time he presses it. It's just a slight delay.
Yeah, exactly.
The problem I have when this happens is the winding down. And that is seriously midnight. Is not a good time for me. Getting tapped on the shoulder at 6 a.m. is horror show theater. Knowing that I'm going to take my kid to school today because I promised him, because he has got tryouts for the golf team today, and I was going to go over that with him, which I did, and very minimal information.
Was it a Carla shoulder tap or a Michael shoulder tap?
It was a Carla shoulder tap, and then he was Logie getting up too. So it was he didn't stay up the whole time, but he stayed up late enough to watch some of the game. He saw the home run, which was fun. Yeah. But that was it. And then I woke up this morning.
What is his prescribed bedtime? I know that he probably cheats and looks at games and phones and stuff at night, but what time do you...
Nine-ish. 9:30.
Okay, yeah, that's where I was at that age.
We're 9 p.m. as well.
Mm-hmm. That's what happens. And so by the time I get myself together, and I haven't even had the joy of going online to watch the angry Boston radio talk show host, which I will do after the show today, to give me, because I watch the Joshes. Because hate is such a strong emotion in people, much stronger than love. It really is. If you were to say, oh, I'm going to tune into this guy that's going to tell me why he loves the Red Sox, even when they lose, that's not going to do it for me. But if you tell me I'm going to be able to tune into somebody that's going to be bitching a mile a minute, that's great. That's the reason why bitching about a sports team can land you a good job, and bitching on the golf course can get you sometimes even kicked out of a group, because nobody wants to be around somebody who's complaining about themselves and every excuse possible. But if you're talking about a team where it's a collective hate, because you effers that did this and bitch, 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 that is amazingly powerful. And it's powerful in politics, as we've seen, too.
Very powerful.
Because we love to hate in America. That's what we enjoy.
Take it from someone who's married 28 years to the same woman. Sometimes,
do you say that to rub my nose in it? Is that what it is?
Not at all. No.
Because you have to throw that in there every single time. Is that a dig? I might be being paranoid, but
I think
is
you're
that
a little
paranoid.
Dig?
Really?
And keep in mind, Mike, the longest relationship you've had is with me.
Mm-hmm.
And we're very happy.
I don't think
it's about anyone but his own marriage.
I was going to say, Mike, that sometimes hate comes from love.
I'll keep track of every time. Oh, you know, you get that thumbs up from your boy down in the bottom of the screen, too. I don't get any love anymore.
He's got me beat on the 28 years as well.
Okay. Well, how long have you been married?
Three.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
How about total?
Right. We are on the same club on that.
Yeah. Until we get to marriage counts, you're ahead of me.
I'm
What is your total amount of years, though, Josh, if you included the first marriage?
21.
Oh, so yeah, you were married
quite
a long
few.
Time.
Yeah,
wow, that's a long. I didn't know you were married that long. Mine would be 26. I think 26 years.
So we're nearly
married.
Tied. Yeah,
but I've been married to Carla for 12 years. So and we've been together over 20 years.
Has
so we've been together
long?
A long time. Yeah.
Wow. Gosh, time does fly. That's
2003,
crazy.
Rob. Well, that's when we started seeing each other, 2003. Isn't that amazing?
That is.
While with wife number two.
What's that?
Now, that's not called for.
What is wrong with you?
Wow, I wouldn't even go there.
You're mad.
No, I was separated. I was separated. Everybody that was at Evergreen Country Club perceived me as trading my ex-wife in for another mom, which was could not have been more incorrect. I had been kicked to the curb, was living in my own place.
I understand. I know.
That's what happened. For the love of God, I just want to be able to get my ding back on. That's all. That's all I want to do. I want to be able to run one board through the computer.
Josh really sort of that. He sort of rushed the line on that one. I think Josh, you better reel it in.
I accept it. I accept my fate. That's the way it goes.
The implication that you're cheating. That's not okay. Because it's not anything close to true.
Just didn't work out in my head.
Well, that's the way he thinks it. With his fundamentalist Christian, we're all heathens. Did you know that we're all heathens?
Well, he has said that he thinks that
back as well.
Okay. All right. Very
Mike,
good.
Mike, he has said that he thinks one of us, he hasn't revealed who, that either Rob or Mike, as I speak of myself in the third person, is savable. And so I don't think he thinks of us as heathens.
I know he doesn't think I'm savable. Tell the truth. Come on. You think Rob's savable?
I think you are both savable.
You really do?
Yes.
But if you had to pick one where the percentages were, come on now. Well, that's interesting because I talk about faith more than Rob does, actually.
Yeah,
so,
you know, if you do save me first, I'll wear a Jesus hat for the whole show. Mm-hmm.
Come to my side, by the way.
Well, wouldn't that be saving Josh?
Mm-hmm. Yes. By the way, speaking of politics, unrelated to the presidency, Josh, look up Graham Plattner. I could not believe this. I have a friend in the great state of Maine who has now announced that he is running for Senate against Susan Collins, and this is a man who has sat on that porch of mine in the great state of Maine, ladies and gentlemen.
Does he hold a title now, Platinum?
No, he does not. No, he's...
What is his...
There he is. That's my buddy.
He's rugged.
Well, that's my buddy. Well, he served his country honorably on a very elite level. So he's one of those guys. He's an old fashioned tough guy, and we hit it off with him beautifully.
How did you meet him? How did you run into him?
He is the son of a woman who runs a restaurant up there, and he is
Dolores Plattner.
No, he is. Are you doing a Dolores Claiborne thing?
I don't know. This is the name that's popped
to mind. he's a good guy, and I immediately donated to his campaign because I believe in the guy. I think he's a real old fashioned, honorable, tough guy, and we need more heroes in politics.
It looks like he announced this last night, officially.
Yeah.
Does that mean as of today? Does he still know you?
Probably not. Although I wouldn't mind getting him on the show. Love to have him. Do we have to get... We don't have to do equal time online, right?
No.
I got Susan Collins on the show. Thank you very much.
Ronald Reagan defeated equal time in 86, I think.
That's true. But it's fun when you see somebody's like... I'm like, I get texts from political candidates all over the country because I'm an activist in the Democratic Party. And when I got that, I was like, wait a minute. What? And then I get to the website. Yes, it is him. And it was very, very cool.
Do you get texts from Chuck Schumer?
No, very rarely Chuck Schumer. I get weird ones like all over the country. But I love it when somebody, I'm all in with the people that are in the military.
It makes you believe in the system when you know the people.
So it also makes you proud. It makes you proud that, you know, that someone you know is taking that step.
He is a good, old-fashioned, good guy. He is...
What is Collins' platform? What is he looking to unseat?
Republican.
Well, she's a Republican senator from Maine who has gone along with the current president
pretty Republican then.
Yeah. Oh, well, very much so. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Unlike the other senator who's Angus Smith and Angus, not Angus King, not Angus Smith.
With
Angus
the thick King. Scottish accent?
No, Angus is an independent, a fiercely independent guy, has been for a long time. Maine gets a lot of independence. As a matter of fact, there's no mention with Graham of his party affiliation, but the Democratic Party sent out some stuff about him. So I have no idea whether he is running as the Democrat or not, or an independent.
In the chat room, Mike, Nodak wants to know if his mom runs the Lumberjack show.
Is that, no, it's no, not Team. It's not Tim
not
Bertina.
Related to Tim Bertina.
It is not Tim Bertina. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. It is not Tim Bertina. So
it says that Graham is a far left progressive, backed by national progressive operatives and environmental extremists.
And
now
friend,
what? Now what? Fox News. What
that
Fox,
is from Fox
News?
That is from Fox News.
Said, yeah, from it. Fox News. There it is. Yeah,
that's from Jason Savage, the director of the Maine Republican Party.
There it is. That there, that's her. Where it comes. I far
and
left.
That's,
no, he's
that's
not.
Maine with an E, not Maine meaning like the
how
head.
How can you, you know, I mean, but it's amazing. It's just, it's a machine, isn't it? It just goes, doesn't matter who you are, you immediately turn it on without any research whatsoever. They jump right in. And I've had many discussions with this guy. I do not consider him far left at all.
You have to choose. There are no shades of gray. You either have to love or hate.
No, not in our world now. Right, not in our world now. But man, oh, man, that guy has served his country honorably, and I'm sure that information will come out as things go on.
Do you think you could get a job in the administration?
I don't think I would ever come near that. You know,
you could be a page or
I'll
an
help,
intern.
Though. I'll help in any way I can. I by the way, you know, down here, there's no place for me because of the redness of where I live. There's just no.
Well, I know. I know what you could do to help down there. I would
that?
Love to see you being an election proctor. I want to see you be the guy.
Like the old people that are
you
in
check
the
in
voting
yeah,
areas?
Yeah, exactly. I
not
think that'd be a great
that
job.
Happening at all. I dabbled when I came down here, but it's I hate to say this. Because I think the only way you change things is by starting on the grassroots level. But the, I do consider it a very serious exercise in futility. I hate to say that, but there is a type down here that you know that gets involved, and it's just I don't know. I get under the surface down here. It is so red in my area of Florida. Even for Florida, it's red.
It might be the heat.
Yeah, it's a big sunburn.
It's a giant sunburn.
Since you own a residence in Maine, you don't go there that often, but you still own it. Can you vote there if it's not your primary residence?
No.
Okay,
no.
So all the
primary
stuff you would
residence
be doing
is what it's all about, Rob.
It would
that's
be just for the good of the party, just helping.
But
out.
I've, you know, my cousin Teddy has run for Congress in the Republican side up there. He has done that. He has worked on campaigns. He's worked with Senator Cohen and stuff like that. So I mean, politics, and I've also known quite well the former Republican governor John McKernan, who is no longer in politics, no longer in office. And he is married to the former senator, very moderate Republican Senator Olympia Snow. So we're kind of connected up in that area
Olympia
of Maine.
Snow?
Yes.
Sounds
yeah, Olympia
like an
Snow,
actress
famous.
Name.
Do you have any idea who she is?
I don't. But then I don't follow
she was
Maine
a very
politics.
Yeah, I know you don't. Okay. What are you interested in? What are you? Not sports and not politics. What are you?
Mike, it's not fair for you to say I'm not interested in politics. I'm not interested in Maine politics.
Okay. Well, I mean, she was a national voice.
Okay.
She was very prominent.
Okay.
She was very prominent in the. So, Senator Snow, salute to you. Mm-hmm. So there it is. That's former Senator Olympia Snow.
I remember the necklace.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Very moderate. Got out when all the crap started happening. Didn't want to have any.
That's
didn't
why like, everything's so screwed up, because anyone with any sense got out.
Didn't like the new way things are going. But man, oh man, right away, I have a theory as to why hate is so popular. I think that we as human beings, if it's not family, if it's not somebody that we live with and even we can live with them and feel hate for them. Mm-hmm. But really, by and large, we hate all other humans because we consider, much like animals, we consider all other humans a threat. I believe that with all of the fiber of my being.
Is that a modern thing, or is that something that has always been, do you think?
Probably since the days we were, you know, hunter-gatherers, we were out there and somebody else from another pod of people would be represented as a threat because he's trying to kill the same animal we're killing. It exists in every single day that you get in an automobile and get on a highway, you experience this. on some level. You might not perceive that it's happening, but it's happening.
Sure.
Every single day you are in an automobile, there is someone that's more aggressive than you, that cuts you off, that's trying to get ahead of you. It is the threat. You are a threat. You are going to prevent me, because you're another human being, of getting to where I need to go faster, and F you. I hope your car blows up because I want to get there first. That's the very minimal level. Then when you get into politics,
right,
well, you don't believe the same way as I do. I hate you because you are a threat to me because you think that. And it really is the threat, the perceived threat of people. Isn't it all about the threats? Don't political parties play into the threat from the other side all the time?
Fear. Mm-hmm. I think this, though, I believe in what you're saying, but I think it's more of a modern thing. You can go back in the previous century. No. But I'm talking about loving or hating and not being sort of, I'm okay, you're okay with it. Like when we are in a situation, a national crisis, I think the country comes together. I think that a lot of this fire has been stoked with recent history because of the severity of the opinions of our executive branch right now.
No, but that's only the focus that's been on politics for the past 6 years, because the exact same thing Republicans would say about Biden's presidency. Oh, the problem is the executive branch. Where the problem really is that as humans, hate is just inside of us.
I totally agree with you. I think you look at brawls in sporting events. You know, that's what we love to do. We love to have an enemy. We love it. That's what sports is. Mm-hmm. You have another team. They are effectively the other gladiator. That's it. That's how we're programmed that way. And I think it's the human condition. It's not anything that makes me feel good about being a human being, but I think it really exists there.
Sure.
And it's everywhere. It's in the marketplace. It's in the job. It's in everything. You see that. And there are very few people who rise above it. There are two strong emotions, I think, in a man. I can't speak for all of my female counterparts, but I will tell you this. I think the two greatest desires are to eliminate the threat of other people that might be a threat to us. Mm-hmm. And to further my species and procreate,
and both of those are rooted in survival skills.
Sex and hate, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can do a radio show with that.
Let's change the name of this podcast to Sex and Hate.
Sex and Hate, ladies and gentlemen. That's what it is. It's the way it is. Do we aspire? Do some people aspire to greater things and more noble pursuits? I suppose. But I think if you peel away the layers of the onion, when you get right down to it, everybody's kind of the same.
Maybe my flawed thinking is that we used to have a little bit more decorum with how we displayed it. Maybe that's it. It doesn't
seem back in the middle ages.
Back with gladiators.
No, in 1900s, Mike.
Your argument about modern times is not.
You don't think we're in the most divisive times right now that we've ever lived in?
No.
I think you go back to the Crusades. They were pretty. The Spanish Inquisition.
How about the Civil War, where more Americans died than any other war?
Yeah, but if you go to the north or the south,
are you going to stay? Are you going to die on this hill? Because it's really tough because it's the human condition, and we were more barbaric when we were, earlier in our human history.
I'm just talking about in my lifetime.
The 10 years.
Wait, go ahead. You're talking over each other. What's going on?
I'm just talking about my lifetime and what I've seen in my lifetime.
All right.
And I think that in my lifetime, which is not excessively long, is that right now we are in the least happy, most divisive times that our country has seen in my lifetime. And I wonder, I know that those desires have always been there, but it seems like something has opened the door to make it more acceptable to be divisive in public and scream what you believe in and why the other guy's an idiot.
In your lifetime, but the human condition is that we've always been tearing
each other.
But I think it's the same divisiveness, just social media and news has amplified it, so it's in your face all the time.
That's also quite valid. We've always had
predators, and we've always had creepy guys our entire life. Parents are more concerned about it now than ever because it's on the news, pushed all the time, because we push negativity.
And also people can be negative and hide behind a screen name or something like that. There's individuality where people don't have to own up to being divisive. And that's an ugly, ugly thing because you're spreading hate and you're not having the bravery to attach yourself to it.
You know what I don't hate anymore?
Hmm.
I don't hate my computer anymore, and I don't hate my printer anymore.
So you got some resolution on your printer?
I succeeded last night with no help from anyone of making my printer work. This is your news today, ladies and gentlemen, on my pink paper, printed out beautifully. If my son has a school project he needs the printer for, he has the printer. It is there. No help from the Epson Corporation. No help from the Comcast people, Xfinity. None. Zed Bagel.
Do you know what you did to fix it, or was it just a little bit of happenstance?
I went back into my router.
Yes.
And I cleared it. I rebooted the entire thing. Very simple button to hold for 45 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
All gone. And then reconnected everything to it. And there was a setting. This allowed me to get into the settings of the router, which for some reason I was not allowed to get in, even though I had written down the password.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was able to do that, there was a small little setting that allowed my router to communicate with my printer, and lo and behold, it happened. Now, could I tell you exactly how it happened? No, I couldn't.
But you fixed it.
I fixed it.
And you know the route you took, Mike. You should be proud, because that is normally an unattainable thing.
Yeah,
I really thought you were going to throw away your printer. I did.
And by the way, AI, Comcast, when you list your technical questions, do a better job of being able to narrow it down, because there were no questions that were put up there that that in any way came close to my problem.
Do you think that the frequently asked questions aren't asked that frequently? I get that feeling.
I mean, it was just it was a quagmire, and I was very, very proud of the fact that I was able to do this. So I'm happy. That's the win. Now, the other problem I have right now is getting to play sounds through my computer into the Rode soundboard. And even though we have to move on with the show, I will be very, very, I have to stop looking at that, because we have a very special, it's time to move on, Rob.
Okay,
Spiewak.
Very good. Okay.
This episode is brought to you by IQBar, our exclusive snack sponsor. We're excited to announce they've teamed up with Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry, on a new special edition product, a salted caramel chip protein bar. IQ Bar's plant protein bars are packed with clean, delicious ingredients that keep you physically and mentally fit. For example, my salted caramel chip IQ Bar has 12 grams of protein and only a gram of sugar, plus nutrients like lion's mane adaptogen. And 10% of sales go to Chef Keller's nonprofit program, Mentor, supporting the next generation of aspiring U.S. chefs. With over 20,000 five-star reviews and counting, more people than ever are fueling their busy lifestyles with IQ bars and all of their amazing products. I'm in love. When products are co-created by a Michelin star chef, they taste incredible. But what's even more important is how they make you feel. When I start my day with an IQ bar, I feel amazing. Right now, IQ bar is offering our special podcast listeners 20% off all IQ bar products, plus free shipping. To get your 20% off, text TMOS to 64,000. That's TMOS to 64,000. TMOS to 64,000. Message and data rates may apply. See terms for details. IQ Bar, the best. Time to move on with the show, because this podcast is sponsored by Naked Wines.
Yes.
And you're damn right it will. Let me do this. All right, hold on a second. I'm going to get into my shot here and let me do this. And
Mike's adjusting
the
shot. Naked Wines have been with us for a while.
There it is.
Yeah, there they are. That's the box.
There it is. All right.
And a balloon glass, Mike.
Hi. I'm Mike O'Mara. This is my Naked Wines case of wine that arrived. See?
Yes. I love it.
There it is. Let me get this out of the way. Thank you. There it is, Naked Wine. Isn't that a beautiful box that it comes
it is.
In there?
The shipping there to be commended upon, because you would think it's impossible to ship glass wine bottles, but no, it's great. It arrives safe and easy to undo.
There's my invoice for Naked Wines.
Dear Mr. Alcoholic.
Yes. Lovely little pamphlet.
Mm-hmm.
Dress like fine wine. Another offer there. You got that. You don't need that. Now, here are the head covers.
Yep.
That's the head covers for my bottles of wine. All right.
There we go.
Very exciting here. Naked Wines. Oh, look at this. Six bottles of fabulous wine. Six bottles of fabulous vino, ladies and gentlemen. I'm very, very excited about this.
There we go. Neat. I like that shot.
Yeah.
No, this is good. Thank you. All right. Our first bottle today. Oh, let me pull it out of there.
I'm curious what you're going to choose.
Well, I'm not going to go with white.
That looks like a sparkling. Is that a champagne?
Isn't that beautiful? That is. Let me see. Cava Brut. That is a champagne.
See?
I believe. Or some sort of bubbly.
The sobriety is still strong, but I can still spot a drink
Franck
a mile away.
Franck Massade Mas Sardana. Isn't that beautiful?
That is
That's
gorgeous.
Real pretty. Let me give you another one.
That should go right in the fridge, Mike. I tell you why. Because champagne that isn't cold isn't worthwhile. Have it ready to celebrate at a drop of a hat.
All right, I want to get that ice cold. Here, going right up the line. This is Maurizio Lorca Gran Reserva. This is a 2021 Malbec from Naked Wines from the UCO Valley. UCO? UCO Valley?
UCO? Where is it? Where is that? Does it say if it's a domestic or imported? It sounds imported.
I don't know. Let's see. UCO Valley.
Argentina.
Mendoza in Argentina.
Argentina.
Wonderful. Moving right along here. This is a Chenin Blanc from Patrice Grasset. From the exquisite terroir of France. I'm probably butchering this.
No, everything sounds so solid.
This is an international.
That's so cool.
You know, you should put that champagne in the fridge and save it for next week's Red Sox games.
Yes, when they win. This is a beautiful, I can't even pronounce it. Matt Parrish, Oscar Quevedo, Duo Mistura. These are like, I am so excited about all of these. This is from Portugal.
Do you know what varietal it is? It's a red, obviously, but does it say if it's a something?
Can you ask me any more questions I can't answer, please? Jesus Christ. All right, here's another one. This is another Sauvignon Blanc here, a Rod Easthope from Hawke's Bay, New Zealand. I love these.
That's my mom's poison. She likes that kind of wine.
Good.
And Miller Lite.
All right, let me see. I already got that one. And the last one we have here.
I hold in my hand the last bottle.
This is a Cabernet from Chile. And it is, there it is, QU. Cool.
Cool.
Right. I don't know. I'm going to get, and the one I'm going to pick.
Which one says it's recommended for 9 a.m.?
Yeah, for breakfast. It's a good breakfast wine.
Well, I think I'm going to go with the one from Chile.
A red. Looks like a red.
I've got my rabbit right here. That's what I use to open my wine. Very nice.
For those of you who are just listening and not watching, it is not an actual rabbit.
All right, here we go.
Rabbit.
Down, yes, and up and bingo. Bingo, baby.
That's fantastic. I still use like a waiter's corkscrew.
Well, that's what I do in the interest of time because this is a broadcast here.
Understood.
And you have to get that alcohol in you as fast as possible.
Well, today it's been a really stressful day. All right.
Well, no, today is a celebration. It's
the thing is, though, I don't have a large glass.
The thing looks like a bathtub.
Let's do the pour, shall we?
Yes, please. Everyone, quiet.
Damn it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let me get this over here. All right.
All right.
No, too far.
All center. Right. Yeah, that's better.
There you go. That's good, right?
Okay. Oh, a little too far.
Yeah. No, we want far. We want you to pour that away from the laptop.
Yeah, but I was talking about the centering.
Here we go. Ready?
Okay, here we go.
Love Naked Wines. To the top, please.
Oh, don't fill it to the top. It'd be too heavy.
There we go. All right, let's let it breathe.
That was great sound effects.
Yeah.
Let's do this, a little breathe.
How's the nose? I get to use my one piece of wine word. That how's the nose on it, Mike?
Like they all are.
Yeah.
Really, they all are. Great legs.
I am not drinking anything other than Naked Wine. And he sips.
Oh, God. They never have a clunker, gentlemen. They never have a clunker. They really don't. I mean, it's always like this. It's always that good. Even at 9 o'clock in the morning. That's Naked Wines. We haven't mentioned it, but if you want to go to Naked Wines, go to the Mike O'Mara show page and get yourself some Naked Wines because they are the absolute best. And this is going to be my beverage for the rest of the show today. I'm very excited about that.
Naked Wines, Mike, is that your first order, it's 6 bottles, I think, for $39.99, shipping included. Mm-hmm. It's like $100 off for your first order. Join the Naked Wines community and you'll be glad you did because everything they send you is great.
It's delish. You're gonna love it. Welcome back to the show. Now it's time for news. And Rob, you got to do the sounds because my thing ain't working.
Standing
today.
By and ready to go.
In a rare moment of humility, President Trump admitted that he might not be one of God's favorite creations. Trump called into Fox and Friends yesterday and
he's
said,
he's still
quote,
doing phone interviews?
Yeah.
In this day and age where anyone with a laptop can be on video, he's still calling news shows.
He called into Fox and Friends yesterday and said, quote, I want to try and get to heaven if possible. I'm hearing I'm not doing well. I'm really at the bottom of the totem pole.
What the hell?
However, Trump thinks brokering a peace deal between Russia and Ukraine might help tip the scales. Isn't that weird that he's thinking like that? It's just strange. It's very strange that he's articulating that. Obviously, what's on his mind comes out of his mouth. So the White House Press Secretary Carolyn Leavitt was asked later if her boss was joking. She said, quote, I think the president wants to get to heaven, as I hope we all do in this room as well. it just gets weirder.
Well, not sooner than later.
Not soon. No.
You know what?
He's not saying, you know what, this weekend I'm going to heaven.
No, but it's...
I'm in heaven right now.
It's kind of a weird notion that your president and the leader of the free world, essentially, is thinking about whether or not he's going to go to heaven. I don't think that is what should be his primary focus right now.
I just think it's interesting if that usually you're speaking like that.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people that go to prison feel like that. You know, there are no atheists in foxholes, all of those type of things.
Sure.
And I believe that, you know, when we get to a spot where we're maybe racked with guilt or we're about to die, that's when we think of, you know, another plane.
Sure.
And that's why people with great faith, I think, can face terrible circumstances. And I have nothing against people of faith. I think it's actually, it's something sometimes that I wish I had. I wish I had more faith, especially in this day and age. And it's just interesting to me that he's speaking like that. That's all.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
I don't think any type of good action gets you into heaven, but I'm glad he's trying to weigh good versus evil.
Right, exactly. You got my thingy there?
Yeah, I do. As a matter of fact,
I'll just point to you when I want
okay,
it next time.
Okay, that's perfect.
Gary Oldman thinks the world has gone to crap since David Bowie died on January 10th, 2016. Gary Oldman's a great, like, quirky, weird actor.
Certainly is really himself, like no doubt there.
Here's the quote. It was like he was cosmic glue or something. When he died, everything fell apart. So, yeah, I miss him. In case you didn't know, Gary and Bowie had a longtime friendship. He added, quote, we laughed a lot. He was very, very, very funny. And we sort of had similar kinds of backgrounds, grew up in similar neighborhoods. God, I love Gary Oldman. I really love David
Bowie. Do you think they'll both go to heaven?
I think so. I think absolutely. They've brought us a lot of joy. Are you a big Bowie fan? You don't talk about him a lot, not like McCartney or anybody like that.
I like him a lot. I'm not like into his full album work like true Bowie fans are, but I can certainly appreciate what he did. And of course, some of his Christmas records are really fine.
Can I just say it again?
And I like the Bay Sox.
The Bowie Bay Sox.
David Bowie.
Josh, still owned by Cal? Are they still owned by Cal?
No, they are not. That was the Ironbirds used to be. Now the Orioles are partially owned by Cal.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that he was part of the ownership. Mm-hmm. Well, I would be encouraged by that because I think Cal loves his game. And my kid, you know, plays on a Cal Ripken team, too. So that he has his tentacles, Rob, in the Little League, but very strongly.
Yeah. His hands are all over Little League.
He's the Pop Warner of Little League, perhaps?
He is the Pop Warner of Little League, and it is very, very expensive in certain circles. So, you know, I don't think Cal is going broke anytime soon.
No, he's doing okay.
Austin Butler plays a former baseball player in his new movie Caught Stealing. He's the Elvis guy, right?
Yeah. Has he stopped doing that fake accent yet?
It doesn't say anything about the accent, but apparently director Darren Aronofsky really wanted him to look the part of a former baseball player. Austin said, quote, "I actually have a whole section of just baseball players' asses that Darren would send me." This is Austin talking, yeah?
Yeah.
He was like, look how thick they are.
Oh, dear.
Great example last night, Josh, that guy Nathaniel Lowe, who the Red Sox just got. That is the typical baseball player's body. I go to D-Bat and have my kid work out with the batting cages, and you see some of the former players that are now coaching these kids, and they have a body type. They are thick on the bottom in many, many circumstances.
The weird thing is that director also sent me those pictures. I don't know why.
Great
he just
ass.
Said, look at them. I said, great ass. I think for Austin Butler, all they need to do is revisit the way they dressed him up in the final parts of the Elvis movie. And they should make him fat like Elvis. And
they
make
put the fat suit on, right?
Yeah. They did a great job on the Elvis ass. It was huge. It made my mother laugh. And then they could make his face fat, too.
He says he did a ton of hip thrusters to achieve the desired backside. But unfortunately, he now has a whole wardrobe of pants he can't wear anymore. I think that's one of your things, Rob. I think that's all BS, and that's just trying to get movie hype. That's what they're doing. Jillian Michaels. My wife was addicted to the show The Biggest Loser. She loved watching lose weight.
I'm glad you brought this up.
So Jillian Michaels is not featured in the new documentary that just rips apart The Biggest Loser. It's a new tell-all documentary.
I watched the first episode last night.
And your brief review of it, please?
It sucks. I won't watch the other two. I don't care what they reveal. It's so just exploitive of all the people that have been on it.
Good word. You might have sold me on not looking in on that.
What they love, Mike, is interviewing people that won that are fat again. They love that.
Yeah.
That's my question. What's the controversy? Because no matter what the show did, they did help people, right?
Well, yeah, but I think
in the story here. On Tuesday, the fitness trainer, she's 51, she posted, that's Jillian Michaels. She was the wiry trainer that was there.
Mean, scary.
She denied some of the claims made about her in the documentary. By the way, it's called Fit for TV, The Reality of the Biggest Loser. That covers the weight loss competition show's alleged missteps and features new behind-the-scenes details about some of the decisions made by its cast, crew, and showrunners during the 18-season run. God, it was on a long time.
It was.
In the 3-episode docuseries, Dr. Robert Huizenga, The Biggest Loser's medical advisor, discussed feeling uncomfortable with the show's extreme methods for weight loss and claimed Michaels often ignored his medical advice. So he throws her squarely under the bus.
One of the winners, Mike, they talk about how, they teach them, the rudiments of exercise and diet.
Right.
But at the bottom of it all, most of them are driven by the $250,000 prize.
Right.
And this winner said, they would do urine tests to make sure they're not on drugs. But the night he won, he gave a urine test, and the doctor said, "You have blood in your urine. You are so dehydrated, you're about to kill yourself." And that's how he was when he won, because he wasn't drinking or eating anything because he wanted to get the money. I'm all for helping people lose weight,
yeah,
but by dangling that $250,000 carrot, it really cheapens it. And
think of all the McDonald's he could buy after he won.
That's right. Extra value meals.
So the medical director, Huizenga, throws Jillian Michaels under the bus. She did not participate in the documentary. She refuted allegations made that she went against the show's rules and gave contestants caffeine supplements without a doctor's permission. She accused Huizenga and fellow trainer Bob Harper, he's in the documentary
too. Yeah, he is all over it.
Of lying about not approving the use of the pills. Well, I think, you'd have to, look them both on a lie detector machine and see what's going on with that.
The thing that's so wild about it.
Go ahead, Josh. I'm sorry.
She posted screenshots this morning of emails from the guy about the caffeine pills.
Ah, so the plot thickens.
They did such a nice job fooling you on this documentary. Just you saying that, I didn't realize they had no interview with Jillian Michaels. She's all over it in clips. Yep. But I walked away from it feeling she was in the documentary, and now I know she isn't, and it makes sense. But it's horrifying. Well, don't look at it. Yeah, she should sue.
We'll have to wait and see. Hours after the American Academy of Pediatrics, the professional society for doctors who care for children, issued COVID-19 vaccine guidance contradicting that of the health secretary, Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
The essayist Kennedy, Mike.
Thank you, Mark Maron, for stealing that. He accused the group of engaging in a pay-to-play scheme to promote commercial ambitions of big pharma benefactors. In a post on social media, he put it on X. In May, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention dropped its recommendation that all children 6 months or older get COVID shots. Kennedy at the time said the move was based on common sense and good science. The pediatricians split with the CDC.
Not just science, good science.
Good science. They split with the CDC, and it underscores the depth of distrust between the medical establishment and Kennedy. Look, bottom line with this, Kennedy, you know, essayist Kennedy, you ain't a doctor.
No.
I'm going with the doctors. I'm going with the doc, and I don't think it's a big, giant conspiracy.
But
it's
how many BS. Kids got COVID?
It's not true. It's not true. It's not documented. It's not documented that the vaccine caused COVID?
No. Like, do kids get COVID?
Kids get everything. Yeah. Kids get everything. I think you're talking about prevention and all of these vaccines. Having an anti-vaxxer in the most important health position in the government is going to put kids' lives in danger. I know you don't believe in the vaccine.
I don't think he's an anti-vaxxer. I think he wanted the COVID specifically to be tested more.
He's against many, many vaccines. He is a documented anti-vaccine guy.
You know who they should get to do his job? Well, he is that. They should get Dr. Bazinga from the Biggest Loser.
It's Bazinga.
What's that?
Anyway, he calls the COVID vaccine, Robert Kennedy does, the deadliest vaccine ever made in defiance of scientific consensus. I disagree. Many people in the medical community disagree. I'm chock full of it. If it's deadly, it has never affected me, and I have never gotten COVID.
Do you think that guy, do you think Junior would get more respect if he talked like his uncle?
What, Dante? Teddy?
Yeah, no, Jack. Don't take that vaccine.
Well, kind of same thing as Teddy, right?
Yeah. There we go.
Do you get flu shots, Josh?
I do, yes.
Okay. All right. So
every week I get one. Shots. Yeah.
Did you get the COVID vaccine?
I did, but I regret getting it.
Why?
Because I've seen issues, and it didn't make me any safer with COVID.
Well, I mean, did you get COVID after you took it?
Yeah, I've gotten it multiple times.
All right. After you took the vaccine.
Yes.
So it didn't prevent you from getting. Well, that's a good fact for you personally. I think that's something where I can understand your point of view. I don't agree with it, but I can understand where it comes from.
And I know, Rob, your argument is, well, I didn't end up in the hospital.
Yeah,
I think that at 40 years old, I would have ended up in the hospital anyway. I got
plenty of people that were 40 and under went into the hospital on ventilators.
Healthy people before I think they always, and I think this was a big thing that people misunderstood.
Doctors and nurses would be one of the larger groups where that happened.
The the vaccine, I don't think it was ever promised to be a cure. It's to lessen the severity.
Rob, I'll send you all the clips of Biden saying you won't get COVID if you get the shot.
Yeah, well, I mean,
that's what set everything up on a bad
trajectory. No, I think, look, I can understand that you like, these guys that want to say it, but I think that I side with the majority of scientists and doctors and not a guy that has questionable science behind his claims. That's it for me. Now, your personal experience where you got it after you were vaccinated, well, that would make me angry. I would be frustrated.
I also think there's lots of doctors out there who were told to shut up during the whole pandemic.
That's the conspiracy theory I disagree with.
And after you send me all those Biden clips, I'll send you a clip of a gentleman who said in 2020 it's okay to go ahead and celebrate spring break.
And you can drink bleach.
Yeah, all you want.
Sorry about that.
We got heavy on this one.
Well, was that me or you?
That was me.
A new study looked at the 50 lowest paying jobs in America. Josh and I are going to get emails like crazy after that discussion.
I know that that pissed people off, but...
I know. Me too. People will give me a hard time.
Both sides. Both sides.
I'll get emails about being living in a small world and my stupidity. Mm-hmm. So we're all open for that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Here are the top 10 lowest. I'm going to give you five. The average for all of them is between 30 and 34 grand a year. Number five, ushers, lobby attendants, and ticket takers.
Movie theaters, I guess.
They don't make a lot of money.
Wait, what was this a top five list of?
This is the top five lowest paying jobs in America.
Okay. I don't think you set that up.
I did. A new study looked at the 50 lowest paying jobs in America. Here are the top 10.
See, that he's been that way ever since he got the vaccine, Mike. He can't pay attention.
This is
true. He's
trying to lay a conspiracy theory on me that I did not set the clip up here. I didn't set the story up. Yes, I did. Number four, fast food counter workers. They make a little more than cooks because they have to deal with people. Number three, these poor suffering people.
Yeah.
Rob Spiewak, you've dealt with these people more than anybody. So is Josh to a degree.
Who?
Amusement and recreation attendants.
Oh, yeah.
The bored people at those amusement parks. Yeah.
Thank you and enjoy your ride. What you said, though, they sound like a possibility of part-time jobs. Like, but are these people that are career people that are doing this?
Right, because these are teenage jobs.
Yeah.
Number two is fast food cook, meaning you only work in the kitchen. You don't ring people up or work. And number one, what do you think number one is on the list?
Podcaster.
The lowest paying. No. Yeah, it should be. Hey, how about a super chat for that, for what Rob just said? Help him out. Help a brother out, please.
Help us all out.
Double the salary. Shampooer, someone who works in a salon but doesn't cut hair, just washes hair. That's
Who else doesn't make much money, Mike? It's just the poor.
The poor, yes. Can't just poo all day. Finally, speaking of scientists, the Food and Drug Administration is warning Americans not to eat, sell, or serve Walmart's Great Value, a brand I try to avoid, to be honest
with you. Is that their Kirkland?
That is their Kirkland.
Yes. Okay.
Great Value raw frozen shrimp.
Oh.
Due to possible contamination with cesium-137, which is a radioactive isotope. There you go.
I'd sooner buy oysters in Iowa than shrimp from any Walmart.
Right. Would they get them from Chernobyl?
I don't
know. Where
would
they get the shrimp?
An isotope in your shrimp. The radioactive material was detected in shipping containers from Indonesia at four U.S. ports, and testing on the frozen shrimp from the distributor also tested positive. The Indonesian company that produces it is BMS Food. Big mistake foods. Technically, no frozen shrimp within the U.S. food supply has tested positive, but due to the likelihood of contamination, the FDA is recommending a recall on all products from those containers. And if you have any of Great Value's raw frozen shrimp, chuck them.
Yeah.
Get rid of them.
Or make them into a bomb.
Or you could do what I do, make a nice pot of green glowing scampi, which I'm very, very excited about, ladies and gentlemen.
I thought sure you were going to make some of that 3 Mile Island fettuccine.
So good, especially
so good.
When your extra finger grows in. We've got more show coming up. We are, boy, what a beginning.
Yeah.
This podcast sponsored by the wonderful folks that you know them, ladies and gentlemen, and you love them. I am talking about Incogni. I've just signed up with Incogni because I am inundated with spam calls, with what they say on your phone, scam likely. Come on now. This episode powered by Incogni, your personal data's bodyguard. Here's the deal. Data brokers, scoop up your info, your names, your addresses, even your social security numbers, sell it to whoever's paying. Scammers, spammers, creepy marketers, you name it. That's why your phone won't stop ringing. Mm-hmm. Your inbox is a mess. Identity theft is always lurking. Data breaches jumped 72% in 2023 from the previous year. Incogni fights back. They automatically wipe your data from over 230 brokers, keep monitoring, and push back when brokers resist. You stay off their list. period. With four flexible plans, their protection always fits you and your family, and you're covered by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Bottom line, if your data is out there, you need Incogni. Use code TMOS at Incogni.com/TMOS to get an exclusive 60% off an annual Incogni plan. Incogni.com/TMOS. That's Incogni.com/TMOS. You're using it too, right, Ron?
Mike, I signed up on Sunday. And since I they didn't tell me to say this. This is the fact. Since Sunday, I've not gotten a spam call. Mm-hmm. Not one. And Bingo. They used to come every 10 minutes or so.
Exactly.
And I'm thrilled with it. It is so great.
I wanted to mention very briefly, because we're really kind of playing catch-up ball right now, the movie that I think should be on the horror classic list that I just stumbled upon last night when I was angry at the Red Sox. It's so good, and it holds up so well.
What's
and that,
that
movie, Jordan Peele's Get Out. It's floating around there on the HBOs, and my God, what a show, what a movie. Spectacular, well-crafted, evil, scary, all of those wonderful things.
And
a story
so well told. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of times if you go to like a slasher film, say Friday the 13th style film, there's no story. There's nothing going on that you need to follow. This is a thinking person's movie, a thinking person's heart, like Silence of the Lambs was.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Rob Spiewak, you have some dental news. I always think it's fascinating when you bring dental news to the equation, because you are someone who, you know, really discovered tooth care late in life, right? Would
True,
that be
yeah.
accurate?
I was never a flosser until Eric Zoolander's Stilginski yelled at me and gave me a certain product that I love.
He has beautiful
teeth. Oh, my God. You could sell them.
Beautiful.
You could sell them on
Big
the internet.
Shoppers. So attractive.
Now, this comes from King's College in London. And I don't know how you feel about taking dental advice from the British. But they have found... Now, did you know that tooth enamel is one of the things in our body that is not renewable? Like, if you break a bone will knit. And if you cut yourself, the scab will heal itself.
Right.
But enamel, once it's gone, is gone. They have figured out that if you make toothpaste with human hair, it provides enough keratin to work with your saliva to make sort of like a protective barrier on your teeth. That
Rebuild enamel?
It approximates enamel. But it is made of keratin and saliva, but you have to put human hair into toothpaste. And I'm like, you know what? I'd rather have false choppers, I think. Because
well, just start flossing with hair.
Well, I don't have any long enough to floss with.
You'll have to use someone else's.
Yeah. I would tell you that anything that assists in that area,
yeah.
You know, I'm someone who's relatively mocked by Mrs. O'Mara on a regular basis.
Why?
Because she wants me to, you know, have better choppers. You know, she's called me old George Washington teeth before.
What does she want? Does she want veneers? Does she want you to whiten them? What does she want you to do?
I think she'd probably be happy if I, you know, popped on some... see, this is bonding right here, which would, I guess, be somewhat of a veneer. Here, where it was chipped, and here where it was short, and I got these two. And when they did it at the husband and wife, by the way, I know I'm going to piss people off here in the audience. I really know this is going to happen, but I don't care. Beware of the hubby-wifey medical teams.
Tell me about it.
Chiropractors, doctors, dentists, that no good can come of that.
I hesitate to bring this up because you will accuse me of always bringing it up, but husband and wife did my vasectomy. And there was too much
Together?
Happy talk. Yes. It was horrible. Carrie was in the room, too. Everybody was talking.
What was she doing in the room?
I don't know. I have no idea why she was there. But she and the wife of the surgeon were talking about stuff. And I'm like, let's focus on this. I asked her to hold this. And that was before. No. Mike, the thing is, too much happy talk. I just want them to focus on my balls. And no, they wouldn't. As I mean,
what if they had come up with a magic form of keeping you infertile with human hair?
Whose hair?
Tie it off. anyway, so they can. Is this documented that this will work? This hair base?
It has
I think if you grind up hair and you put it into a toothpaste, it's not going to be a big deal. Yeah.
I guess you're right.
What if it's your own hair? If it's your own hair, that would be fine. But any look, we consume using cosmetics all sorts of gribbly stuff. Mm-hmm, we do.
You're right.
That's
you're
the
right.
way it happens.
But to me, I feel that occasionally you're going to get a real long one in the toothpaste.
Josh, have I ever shared with you the worst hair in food experience I've ever had?
Oh, I don't think you've shared it with me.
Rob, this was a long time ago. This was actually back in the 1800s, wife number one. And we went to, much like Josh, we went on a European odyssey. And
Just the two of you?
Yes, just the, well, we had to pick up, my ex-wife's aunt, auntie, who was, let's just say, to be politically correct, subsidizing the trip.
I understand.
So I was kind of beholding to her. I don't know if she had come into the equation yet, but we were looking at, I don't know, about a million castles one day. And once you've seen King Ludwig's gold-plated... What's that?
My landline's ringing. That's spam. I don't have that listed through Incogni.
I went and we had, I remember it was a kiosk where they were serving food at kind of the base of the castle. So you would go have your castle tour and then they had the tour groups gathering and there was food offered. And I got some potato salad. Don't even know if it was German potato salad.
Oh, you can guarantee it is because they're in Germany.
And I pulled out a dark hair from the middle of it that no S... was like 6 feet long. It was, it wouldn't stop. And I sat there and I took my finger, I said, look at this. And then it's just, God, what is that? And I have never been more grossed out in my life. It was nasty.
I'm what shocked happened? It wasn't a blonde hair.
What happened?
If it was
did,
Germany.
Did you lose me?
You knocked off your camera somehow.
Yeah, you need to turn it back on.
Yeah.
You have that
on that hair.
I didn't touch a thing. I really didn't. I don't know what's going on. Oh, it's back on now. That's weird.
It was weird. I liked with you with your picture gone. It was like talking to God or something.
I can do it again for you if you want.
Oh God! What about Hold these on. Anti-vaxxers?
Hold on a second.
No, don't go back to that discussion.
I want Hello. God's point. Oh, you're on the wrong bus. You're playing the road Hello. Provided sound effects.
Hi, this is God.
Hi, God.
Nothing's working. Nothing's working for me today.
God, I wanted to pray for Mike's soundboard.
Hey, we're late. We gotta move on. Are you okay. done with your story, Rob?
Yeah, just watch out for hair. Hair in your That's toothpaste.
Good. That's good. Thank you. We appreciate that. Hey, if you want to lose weight and feel unstoppable, Dermglow. They've teamed up with a leading telehealth company to deliver proven weight loss solutions and powerful peptides for total body wellness. Today's shot day for me. I'll be taking my GLP-1s. I love it. I do the injections because I still have more weight to lose. And to be honest with you, my GLP-1s, for me personally, they have resulted in me kind of doing my own thing. I take my shot and I maintain. And now I'm going to be moving on to losing weight again, which okay. is what I want to do. I've been flat for a very, very long time. But we're talking, of course, about DermGlowSkin.com. DermGlowSkin, Carla is there to hold your hand and to help you through all of this. She is wonderful. I love the woman, and she does a fantastic job for all of you. So please do me a favor and check out DermGlowSkin.com. They also have, excuse me, brand new once-weekly oral drops.
That's so
no
cool.
No needles. To same incredible results. Whether you're looking to burn fat, build muscle, just check it out. Right now, GLP-1 GIP is $70 off, so why wait? Reach out to Carla at DermGlowSkin.com. Looking and feeling your absolute best starts today. DermGlowSkin.com, ladies and gentlemen. What's he doing back there?
Well, he's adjusting our TikTok feed,
TikTok.
I think.
TikTok.
Yeah. And everything it going kicked, okay? With
well, it that? Ended due to inactivity, as if we weren't doing anything here.
Really?
So okay. I don't. TikTok's ridiculous.
Yeah, but at least they don't believe we're impersonating ourselves.
Correct.
And how's that going? How's that little appeal?
Still waiting on Facebook.
Jesus. Streaming platforms. So
much. Have you tried poking them?
Don't poke the bear, Rob. Don't poke the bear.
Okay. We won't.
Really?
We shan't.
Rolando, thank you very much for the super chat. We appreciate that. Thank you. Rolando writes, thank you for another good show. Well, we thank you for, you know, for surprising us with another super chat. Thank you very, very much. Taylor Swift has a brand new album, and no one knows about it. Yeah, the whole world knows about it. Okay?
I know, but I want to say a word to the Taylor Swift fans. She's soaking you. The Swifties. She's soaking you when you go out to buy Life of a Showgirl. I know you're going to get it.
I thought you were making a sort of a naughty reference.
No, no, no. That's the name of the LP.
Taylor Swift Super Soaker.
Now they're... What?
Just move on. Don't pause,
me.
Helper.
You shocked me, Helper.
I know I did. Yeah.
Okay. So they're, you know, everyone's going to get it on streaming because that's what kids do now. And then there'll be some that buy the LP because they're collectors. And some will, I imagine, will still be out on CD. And a CD is a very valid format. This is the first album I've heard of in recent history that they are purposely putting out on cassette. The worst format ever invented.
Cassette?
No one has cassette player. Well, I do, but no one has a cassette player anymore. And so why are you buying it? You're buying it as a keepsake.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
If you, right now, if I said, go get a cassette, put it in, press play, and it would play, would it work?
Of course.
You've got updated batteries in it?
No, I mean, I've got it in my, yeah, I'll do it right now. I'll be right back.
No.
I even selected the tape, Mike. I have a cassette of Elvis's greatest hits.
No, don't need that.
But you see, what she's doing now is she is not Elvis Presley. I don't care what the Swifties say. She's not. And I bought that because that was well out of print, and I'm an Elvis collector. You're not going to listen to this cassette. It's going to be mass-produced.
Rob, you're wrong.
Why?
Because all the people like you who collect LPs because of their childhood,
right,
this generation beneath me, is there's a big uptick in cassette sales. People are buying cassette players. You can get them now with USB, and...
They people sound are, horrible. They break. They melt.
People are putting Spotify on their cassette player and recording songs on the cassette.
Does anybody hear from Stephen Douglas McIntyre, one of our P1s from Days Gone By, a guy that was very active with the show? Is he okay, Rob? Is he doing all right now?
I have not heard a thing in at least 2 years. So I don't
Somebody update us if you get a chance. Please. Out there in fanland. There are people that are more plugged into him than we are. Let us know if he's doing okay. He was a guy that ran a DJ service in Washington, D.C., working on cassettes, the most difficult format I ever worked in. And it made me think of Stephen Douglas, who had done so many, Stephen Douglas McIntyre, doing so many were nice there, things for the show.
I have to ask about the process when you were DJing on cassette. Was
horrible.
There one song per cassette, or were there multiple songs on the cassettes?
Multiples.
So you had to like fast forward and rewind during live presentations? That's ridiculous.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It was tough.
Yeah.
You didn't have a separate machine for rewinding?
It was, I don't even remember. It was so painful. It was just very difficult to do it. It was.
Rob, this says in 2023, 436,000 cassettes were sold in the U.S.
That's got to be inflated. That I can't believe that. They're buying them for no reason. I saw them at like a clothing store, and I guess it's like a goofy thing that people are looking back on, but they don't understand what a bad format. 8-track was bad too.
If there is that, you know, that subset of people that do that, then she's tapping into a need. She wouldn't do it for, well, why would she do it? Just to make
money.
A little extra money?
Money.
But I mean, she's doing it because people want it. Probably.
Yeah, they want it because she's telling them they want it.
Okay. All right. Why don't you be a Swiftie like me?
I love her. I think she's fantastic. But you know what? I'm not buying her new tape.
Are you buying her new album?
Yeah, I'll get it on vinyl.
You know, her last album was also on cassette.
Well, you know what?
And it looks like you can buy many of her albums on cassette.
Then help yourself. Have a blast.
His speed of getting information on the internet.
It
destroys us, and I effing love it. I love it because we've never had it. This is stuff you and I would experience 3 days later. By the way, when Rob said...
Yeah, I know. I know.
Wouldn't it be fun if you were able to like counter him with internet speed and like say, yeah, but how about this? If you were talking...
I don't need the internet to tell you this. The cassette was invented for convenience, not for fidelity. If you want to listen to music, listen to music.
He'll fight you with his BS.
That's what he will do.
Oh, are you going to tell me? You going to sit there and tell me that a cassette sounds better than a CD or an LP?
I think that I'm just saying that if there's that need out there, which I had no idea until
there's
just,
no need.
I can fit my cassette player in my pocket. I cannot fit my record player or CD player in my pocket.
Can you fit your phone in your pocket?
No.
Well, yeah, you need bigger pockets.
See? Hey, touche. Counterpoint. Pretty good.
Of course.
Hey, pretty good with that one. He really got you with that one. Very good. And he didn't have to go online to do it.
If you buy physical media, Josh, you have it in your phone and you've got a backup automatically.
Can I ask you a question about when you're doing it? Because I don't do it either.
What?
He does this while he is on the show and interacting with us.
I know.
And
I know.
He is clicking and doing that. Do you have any capability to do that whatsoever?
Mike,
like really be like on a stream of consciousness moment. I'll give you a little behind the scenes. Right. I have a laptop here that has my show outline and my soundboard that's not working today. And if I want to open up anything, I open up a third window.
Right.
I'm curious as to this man is running video, some sound for us, and getting this research. Now, does he talk as much, flap as much as we do? No, we do it more. But I'm curious, what do you have in front of you every day when you're doing the show? I'd love to know, and I think our listeners would as well.
A Bible on my screen. I have two monitors.
Okay.
And monitor one, half the monitor is StreamYard and you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have my camera controls next to that. On the other monitor, I have a web browser for searching. I have the messages app for text messages. And then I have the app for downloading YouTube videos.
There it is.
Wow.
It's amazing. So
the two monitors,
you never asked me what I have in front of me, Mike.
What do you have in front of you? You have a round consumer-grade light on your face. You have one. You have how many iPads do you have?
I have two iPads in front of me. I have
how many razor blades?
I have five razor blades and one roast beef sandwich.
You have? Do you exclusively work off iPads, or do you have a computer in front of you?
I don't. I have a laptop that has the ability to be, but it would require a reload, and I'm not as familiar with that soundboard program. I've messed with it, and ultimately I will have
do
it.
You have, so do you have, if you want to find something online, can you?
I could, yeah. But I would be distracted.
You've got preloaded stuff, right?
Yeah, but actually I did some thinking after yesterday's program of a more efficient way to get sounds into the iPad that will be like a fraction of the time. And
cool.
I can bring up videos on the show that I preload, or I can and I've done this before. I've went and found a video, downloaded it, and brought it up. It does take a while, and I'm not good at doing it while I'm talking.
And I know we're doing a behind-the-scenes moment here, but first of all, Rob, thank you for doing that. I appreciate it. The idea of, the logistics of what we do sometimes,
this
little tiny little thing we do with just the three of us, guys,
yeah.
And Rob didn't mention his little homemade notepad of the show breaks and everything. Yeah.
Hey, here's something I just wrote down. I just wrote something down. It says, "Shut up, Josh."
That's my favorite thing on your desk.
Oh my God! Every now and then, I pause and I realize what we're doing, and it makes me very, very happy because so much stuff going on to do this.
I'm
a lot more than people probably realize. They think it's just three guys opening their mouth. Hey, hello, all you barnacles. Yes, you. You know who you are. Yeah, come on, people. You're the ones who gladly take the show and listen to the free Monday through Thursday Enterprise without being part of the TMOS bonus show family. But do we hate you? No. We welcome you.
Mike, oftentimes during a spot.
That's the first sign. This is a lot of wine I've had at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Normally, I love hearing you talk into the wine glass, by the way. But normally, I'll ask you to read.
Yeah, Rob.
I'm Bane. Luke. It's drunk Bane.
Yes, all right. There you are.
Who is Bane's
He's the adversary
guy?
Is Batman.
Batman? I'm Bane.
All right, go ahead. What were you going
to
say?
I very seldom ask you to retake a line when you get it right, but I want you to do that again because it was so warm and engaging.
But do we hate you? No. we welcome you. Come aboard, because better access means more fun.
Fun is the best thing to have.
Maybe a little glass of wine before every show now. Hey, I'm 66. I can do whatever the hell I want. Eliminate all your guilt. It ain't healthy. You deserve more, like our state-of-the-art TMOS extras. Rob just released one this week. What's the one? What's the extra you released this week?
I really enjoyed this one. My best friend from high school is now a Hollywood director.
Uh-huh.
And we talk about his sort of rise to prominence in Hollywood and the fact that he was responsible for discovering the script of Memento and getting it made. He was the guy that actually discovered the script. So, I mean, it's fascinating.
Trying to remember the actress that was that. That's it's like a sci-fi horror thing, right?
It's a guy that can't remember things, and he keeps waking up and not knowing where he is and why he's being chased. It's been a long time since I've seen it, but it's...
Look, we get the extras, commercial-free TMOS, which also includes the bonus show every week. Come back to where you belong, the TMOS bonus show family. Remember, your bonus subscription is the power behind everything TMOS. So when you grab that bonus subscription, you're making sure all the great stuff keeps on a-coming. Be a hero. Be a helper. For additional details, visit the bonus show tab at MikeOMaraShow.com. Yes, it did just hit. We're going to put that over to the side right now. There we go. We've had enough wine. And remember, if you have speakers from Sonos, you're going to love the bonus.
Sounds great. I'm running out of rhymes.
Six Emperor Tyrannus.
Death to all tyrants, Josh.
Do you have some beautiful video
for us?
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Jerry Todd.
Records truly is his middle name.
John Records Landecker, WLS.
Mike, you think you've had a bad day.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a judge and you're holding literally someone's life in their hand based on a verdict, you want to get it right.
Yes,
you
absolutely.
You don't always get it right.
Mm-hmm.
And has been dated and signed. Is that correct?
This is the judge.
Publishing the verdict, we, the jury, find the defendant guilty as to all six counts of the bill of indictment. Sheriff, will you please hand this to State's counsel and pass it over to... Didn't I say not?
Idiot. I mean, really.
Not guilty on all six counts.
How do you make that mistake?
Nope.
How do you... I mean, what in the depth of your assholeness being a... Oh, God, I'd be mad.
But
what?
Doesn't
what?
That make
judge,
victory?
Judge, clue in, sleepy.
I think that actually makes the victory a little sweeter.
It does.
Because there's a
my
moment.
God. And she reacted... with very little emotion, which is wonderful, so good.
Oh, I would love to play the tape of the food influencers that got hit by the SUV, but I think we're going to need more time to discuss it. So let me table that until tomorrow.
Okay.
I know you like drumming videos.
Sounds horrible. I know nothing about it.
Josh and I we did 10 minutes on it before the show.
Did you really? Okay.
Yeah.
I look forward to seeing
that tomorrow.
Good. Very good.
You like drummers. Remember we had the lady who drummed, I guess it was the theme to the Bob Newhart show?
Yes.
You download one video from a drummer and you start getting a million of them. This is a lady. She's quite lovely, and she drums outside. And I thought you'd enjoy it because you like drumming videos. But it also says to me, although she's, I believe, technically accurate, she's just not as good as a pro drummer like Charlie Watts. So I want your opinion on her.
Okay.
She's drumming outside of a lighthouse.
Not exactly challenging.
No. It seems to me
technically she is a long way to go.
I would say she seems to lack touch. There's there's too much. It's like she's hitting everything as hard as she can.
You know,
and I don't think we're hearing her.
Rob, what's that?
I don't think we were hearing her. The drums
we were.
In that mix was not her.
No, they were.
You think they dubbed it in?
No, the cymbals were way too. They were way too loud for the record.
Rob, I don't even know the guy's name. I don't know if you or Josh have seen him. Mm-hmm. We need to get him on one of his clips on the show. This is, I think he may be from a foreign land, but I'm not sure about that either. He is bearded. He is thin.
Mm-hmm.
He is a prodigy. He his speed is such that. He does things with one hand and a drumstick that I cannot believe. He is great. I don't know if you've seen this guy. And he plays to tracks, and he, God, I will find, that's my job.
Yeah, find him. I would love to see it.
I will find it and give it to Josh tomorrow because the guy's amazing.
I was jokingly complaining about the fact that I've got drums all over my feet now, but I always watch them. I like to watch drummers. It's fun.
This is a different, it's otherworldly the way this guy plays. He does stuff that I can't believe.
Mike, I have rare video from your golf club down there in Florida.
Exciting.
I think you'll enjoy this. This was this week, I think.
I'm here. Sorry, I'm late for the tee time.
Nobody was hurt, but the pilot did ask if he could play through. Now, let's close with this.
Yes.
This is a new feature. This is called Beautiful Video Flashback. It's an old video. I know I played it when it happened, but most of the people in it are dead now.
I like this.
It's been a while. This is on the Larry King show, and he had Jungle Jack Hanna on, you know, the animal expert who's sort of a goofball. And when he's showing animals, of course, Larry doesn't care. So who does he bring in to co-host and panel with him but Chance and Cannon? So it's Larry King and his two sons.
Wow.
And the animals. And Larry is just such a lousy father. That's all I'm going to say as we go into it, okay?
The sound in karate so I can scare the people away.
Good-looking kids.
And they have karate now. Don't touch this one. This is African. This is a cane toad, everybody. All right?
Cane toad. We have those down here. Nasty-ass. Gross. What's he bringing a cane toad?
Watch.
Now, those right here are poison glands. This toad, Larry, is the one that came over from South America. They brought it into this country, southern Florida. It's causing a lot of deaths with dogs. Dogs trying to eat this. There's a poison glands right here, men. Right back there. So when the dog eats it... No, he's not going to hurt you.
Get away from me.
Oh, no, it's a toad. It's okay. I don't blame you. I don't like toads.
He didn't bite you.
I don't like him either.
You're okay. He didn't bite you.
Chance is good.
Look at Larry, the fatherly love. Yeah, watch out there.
I didn't bite it. He's not going to bite you.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, it was funny.
So if I ever see a 20-year clip that's worthwhile, we'll bring it back.
Wow, he bit you in the leg. Watch out there.
Hey, that's why your dog died, Chance.
Yeah, all right, we're done. Get the kids off the set. Thank you. I'm Larry King. God rest his humble soul. Anyway, we'll be back tomorrow with a brand new episode. Our thanks to the Naked Wines Company for providing me with really, look, let me show it to you here. That's the label.
Mm-hmm.
QU, right? Is that a Q or is that some sort of other symbol?
I think it's got to be a Q because U always comes after Q.
It is a Cabernet from Chile.
Mm.
And ask for it by this name. That's all I can tell you because it is absolutely spectacular. Mm-hmm. And I hope to send this all to the Naked Wines people because I want them to know how much I love their product because I'd like them to be an advertiser I'll be subtle about it forever. That's it. We'll be back with a brand new episode after the show today. Josh is going to help me figure out my board. I'm very excited about that. For Rob Spiewak and Josh Soroka, let's go Red Sox. And we'll see you tomorrow, everybody.
Mike, you might want to take Advil before you go to bed.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.